This morning on WCHL, pressure has been mounting for faculty members at UNC due to continued focus on alleged academic improprieties.
Yes, we can all read, listen, and hear everything as well, and we acknowledge that. We hear what's out there.
We'll let you know why a Carolina student was arrested for some erratic behavior in a dorm prior to the weekend. Plus, it's been a mighty busy year already for Alert Carolina. And Carolina Connection looks into who's behind the messages. These stories and more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And in WCHL Championship Sports, there is one team from the state of North Carolina that remains in the NCAA tournament. The UNC women won last night over South Carolina and now are bound for the Elite Eight. Plus, history was made in Durham this weekend, but not in favor of the Tar Heel baseball team. And
I've changed my mind. John Calipari is a hell of a coach.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL, 46 degrees in Chapel Hill. Sunshine today. Look for a high today of 70 degrees. Absolutely beautiful weather today, tomorrow, and on Wednesday. A call to police on Friday reporting a sexual assault in a UNC dorm ended in the arrest of a student who was found naked on the floor in his residence hall. 21-year-old Charles Love Talmadge of Charlotte was acting erratically, according to police, in a third-floor dorm of Lewis Residence Hall when police arrived at about 11:15 p.m. The UNC sophomore reportedly broke into another student's dorm room and sexually assaulted a female. Talmadge was subdued with a stun gun before police could arrest him. He was charged with breaking and entering, resist, obstruct, delay of arrest, assault on law enforcement officers, vandalism, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The report of sexual assault is still under investigation. As university leaders have been scrutinized for the past academic athletic scandal, they've also been criticized for the way they've handled those controversies, either for saying too little, going into defense mode, or for acting in a state of denial, as some have said. During a faculty council meeting on Friday, UNC Professor Joy Renner, who serves as chair of the Faculty Athletics Committee, spoke candidly about the pressure she and her colleagues have felt in the past 3 years to provide answers about what led to the scandals and how the university has responded to those internal problems.
We accept the fact that people don't feel like there's enough information out there. And we're going to continue with developing our departmental networks and informational materials. And yes, we can all read, listen, and hear everything as well. And we acknowledge that. We hear what's out there.
UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, who's now in her ninth month at the helm of the university, said she recognizes the various reports swirling around UNC.
I think that's always our goal, is to be responsive. On the other hand, we have to be thoughtful, we have to be careful, and we have to get it right. So I feel, as long as I know we're going for the right thing, I feel pretty pleased with what we're doing.
Last Tuesday, a new surge of media attention was focused on the UNC academic fraud scandal. Two new former Carolina football players said on separate HBO and ESPN programs that they were encouraged to take no-show classes in order to retain their athletic ability during their collegiate careers. Whistleblower Mary Willingham, a former athletic tutor who's been outspoken about improprieties, she said she observed while working with student athletes, also appeared in the ESPN documentary. In response, Joel Curran, Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs, released a statement that the documentaries covered information that had already been reported. He added that the university announced nearly 2 years ago that there were irregular classes taught. When asked about the documentaries, Folt said her focus was on the present and the future of the university.
If you're referring to reports in various media about our institution, those don't really reflect anything that's actually going on at our institution. So my focus is really here.
Renner said she does pay attention to the media reports, but said those do not impact the work she's doing now to reform the university's ties between academics and athletics.
I wouldn't say it's influencing our plans for changes in practices and procedures, but obviously it does affect the public at large, because anytime you view one show or you hear one piece, you're not getting the whole story, you're just getting a partial story.
Renner called the time just after the NCAA announced its intention to investigate the UNC football program back in 2010, ground zero, as faculty tried to piece together what went awry. Since then, she said the focus has shifted to implementing policy change, keeping in mind the developments that are happening in college athletics all across the country. Chancellor Fultz said she is pleased with the reforms and inquiries that have already happened and are currently underway.
I feel very strongly that we're moving forward in a lot of areas. We have investigations going, we analyze data, and we continue to put forward reforms. So to me, it's part of a larger set of initiatives that are progressing.
UNC Provost Jim Dean said the analysis of the three outside experts who were commissioned to independently review Willingham's data, which found that a majority of the student-athletes she had studied had subpar reading skills, will be ready in about 2 or 3 weeks. Dean has not identified the names of the experts. Last Sunday, 8 days ago, Chapel Hill heard the Alert Carolina sirens after police received a report of an armed man threatening people on campus. That marked the fourth time this semester that UNC's emergency sirens had sounded. The Alert Carolina system is often criticized for being too slow or too vague. But who is in charge of Alert Carolina? And who's responsible for getting its messages out? Zach Mayo reports for Carolina Connection.
UNC's student union became the center of a school-wide emergency last Sunday when police say a man threatened a student with a knife near the building's bagel restaurant. Senior Ever Castro was there to witness it.
There was another friend in there with me, and we were just doing homework, just reading, and then all of a sudden we hear like this screaming, like not like a yell, like I mean not like a scared scream, but more like an aggressive one, like, hey, come back here, or something like that.
A few moments later, and with the man still on the loose, Castro said he received a text message from Alert Carolina, warning students to stay indoors. Minutes after, the campus sirens went off. UNC's Department of Public Safety spokesman Randy Young says the urgency of the situation made the sirens necessary.
It was a verifiable threat to life and limb. I mean, people were being threatened with a knife, held against their will.
As it turns out, however, there's not one set protocol for when to sound the siren and when to keep quiet. According to Young, no two Alert Carolina responses have ever been exactly the same.
If there is a situation in the field that is a threat to life and limb of any members of the university community or factions therein, then the officer in command of the unit that's responding can call it into 911 and they'll basically activate the siren system. If it's less than lethal situation, for example, it's an armed robbery or sexual assault that we do not feel is a current imminent threat to the campus, they will contact ITS.
ITS, or Information Technology Services, can send out text messages or emails to get the message out, even if the situation doesn't merit sounding the sirens. This happens for smaller crimes and inclement weather alerts. Tyler Jakin is a student and the chair of UNC's Safety and Security Committee, and he sees weather response as a system's weakness.
The few instances where Alert Carolina probably wouldn't, in at least our opinion, perform adequately this year was during inclement weather during the winter. But that's less of an Alert Carolina problem and more of just I don't think the university had the procedures or the practice and experience with inclement weather, and that really showed.
One confusing hiccup in Alert Carolina's recent history came when the sirens sounded to warn of a tornado watch, even though there wasn't a warning or an immediate threat. Young says this could have been handled differently.
That probably, given the parameters of our of the way it's written on our page, that should have been a level 2, a text message, but not necessarily the sirens. While we would rather err on the side of caution and put out too much than too little, it can result in dulling the sword to a certain extent.
Young says police and administrative staff review every activation of the emergency system. While he acknowledges Alert Carolina isn't perfect, he says every time the siren sounds, it's a learning experience and an opportunity to improve. In Chapel Hill, I'm Zach Mayo.
Zach Mayo is a reporter for Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the school year. Abolitionist Abraham Galloway has had no Wikipedia page, while the Wikipedia page for Representative Eva Clayton needed more verification. The North Carolina Collection of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has sought to remedy such issues involving the online encyclopedia. It organized an edit-a-thon on Sunday focusing on African-American history in North Carolina. Anyone with a laptop was allowed to take part in the event to create and improve Wikipedia articles about blacks and black history here in North Carolina. Coming up in just a few minutes here on WCHL. Once again, congratulations to the Carolina women's basketball team for making it to the Elite Eight. We'll have a wrap-up of what happened in yesterday's game and preview of what's going to happen in the next game for the right to go to the Final Four. We'll also talk with Bobby Hunley of UNC Athletics about UNC baseball. And coming up in the next half hour on WCHL, I'm going to talk to Evan Norfleet about a very special Memorial Golf Tournament in honor of his grandfather, who just happened to be Dr. Edward Norfleet, and just a fantastic guy. And a lot of people are going to want to get involved in this golf tournament. We'll have all the details for you in just a little while here on WCHL. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together, and this traffic report is brought to you by Glass Half Full, the friendly, optimistic restaurant, wine bar, and wine shop right in the heart of downtown Carbondale. Good food, fine wine, and lots of fun, too. Online at glasshalffull.com. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, we're going to check in with Rand Northam in just a moment and find out what's going on. Haven't had any problems so far this morning. Everything looking really good. Rand's going to let us know if there are any emergency situations to look into. And you can always get in touch with us by calling us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. If you know of anything that needs to be reported to save other people from the trouble, or you can tweet us at WCHL. Right now, there are no problems to report. Everything moving along fairly smoothly. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Big games are always right around the corner. Seems like every day we got a big basketball game on television everybody wants to watch. So order today from Dickey's, and they're going to have it ready for you when you go by on your way home. Choose from 8 juicy hickory smoked meats. Dickey's Barbecue Pit, right next to New Hope Commons on the Chapel Hill side of Durham. It is, what is it right now? 46 degrees in Chapel Hill, sunshine today. High today, about 70, beginning of a really nice day. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, clear skies, lows in the upper 40s. Wednesday, mostly sunny and downright warm. High on Wednesday, about 80 degrees. How about that?
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
It's time now for news around town on WCHL. Everybody's got the right to be happy, and you're invited to pursue that happiness in April. The Playmakers Repertory Company states is the Tony Award-winning musical Assassins, one of Stephen Sondheim's most challenging and brilliant works. Assassins is a musical about American history through the lens of its most notorious figures, from Lee Harvey Oswald to John Wilkes Booth. Assassins runs from April 2nd through 20th in the Paul Green Theater on campus. In other words, it starts on Wednesday, because here we are at the end of March. For a complete schedule and ticket information, you can visit playmakersrep.org. It is 8:17 at WCHL, time for WCHL Championship Sports. Let's start with the Carolina women's basketball team. They turned back top seed South Carolina 65-58 yesterday, booking a spot in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament, thanks to a strong defensive effort that earned Carolina its first win over a number one seed since 1994. You know what happened that season? Carolina won the national championship. Well, they have a bigger challenge facing them next in their efforts to get to the Final Four. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on the game.
3-2-1. There's the buzzer. Carolina gets the win. They are going to the Elite Eight. 65-58, the final score. Carolina beats South Carolina for the second time this season. A Sweet 16 win, and Carolina survives and advances.
That was Walter Storhold of the Tar Heel Sports Network with the call. UNC never trailed in the hard-fought contest, seizing momentum early on and surviving a second-half surge from the Gamecocks, who went on a 10-2 run to start the closing 20 minutes of play. Interestingly, South Carolina coach Don Staley chose to begin fouling UNC every time they touched the ball, with over 1:30 still left on the clock. The plan backfired as Brittany Roundtree knocked down clutch free throws to seal the victory. South Carolina's Elena Coates took over the game in the second half with toughness inside. Coates finished with 22 points and 11 rebounds. Carolina's Diamond DeShields totaled 19 points to lead the Tar Heel scoring charge, but Stephanie Mavunga's performance in the paint proved especially vital. But no basket was more important than her old-fashioned three-point play, with the game hanging in the balance and the clock winding down.
DeShields over to Coleman. She drives from the corner, drops it down low to Mavunga. Layup is good, and she draws the foul. Chance at a three-point play coming for the Tar Heels.
That basket gave Carolina a more comfortable 8-point lead. Mavunga finished with 13 points. In scary fashion, DeShields went down with an ankle injury early in the first half and was escorted to the locker room, but she only missed 3 minutes before returning to the court and playing on with her trademark grit and determination. After the game, Roundtree, a UNC junior, said all her experience aided in her calmness under pressure at the free throw line.
That experience just helped us for moments like this, you know. Like I said, our coaches calmness, so we're dependable and we're just going to go get the job done.
In his post-game remarks, Associate Head Coach Andrew Calder thanked Head Coach Sylvia Hatchell and UNC Women's Soccer Coach Anson Dorrance for their influential words before the team departed for Stanford. UNC's stay in California was extended. Next up for the Tar Heels is an Elite Eight showdown with the Stanford Cardinal, the number 2 seeds in the region. The game will tip Tuesday night at 9 p.m. with a spot in the Final Four in Nashville on the line. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And they're going to have to play Stanford on their home court, believe it or not, which certainly isn't fair, but that's the way it works out. And we're going to talk to Walter Storholt, play-by-play announcer for Carolina women's basketball, this afternoon at 5:20. Actually, during the evening news on WCHL with Aaron Keck. Want to congratulate the Carolina women for making it so far. Let's hope the journey is not over. Let's hope we can win one more and get to the Final Four. And Bobby Hunley of UNC Athletics joins us now to talk about Carolina baseball. But Bobby, I know that you want to join me in congratulating the Carolina women.
Absolutely. An incredible win last night. Really gutted it out when South Carolina made that run in the second half and beat a number one seed in the tournament for the first time in 20 years. And the last time they did that, they went on to win a national championship. So hopefully it's a good omen.
Yeah, I can still see Charlotte Smith's jumper going in. That was really something else. I want to talk to you about Carolina baseball. And the Tar Heels found themselves on the wrong end of history yesterday at Jack Combs Field on the campus of Duke. Carolina dropped its sixth straight game, and this is the first time that Duke has swept the Tar Heels in a series in 20 years. Carolina's just kind of hit a speed bump right here in the middle of what had started out as a successful season.
Well, that's something that's going to happen with youth, and the Tar Heels are certainly young after losing a big chunk of their offense and pitching from a year ago, but the best thing about the sport of baseball is that there's always another game right around the corner, and fortunately the Tar Heels have a chance to snap that losing streak tomorrow night at the Box.
Well, Tar Heels, you know, they're as you said, you're exactly right. There's so many darn games. I mean, you're playing, you know, every day, it seems. And this weekend, the one thing that happened is the Carolina pitching staff wasn't as successful as it has been as of late. It's usually the pitching that's been great, and the batting has not come alive. But this weekend, Zach Gallen in particular had a short stay on the mound yesterday, and you know, I got a feeling that it's just a kind of a blip on the screen, and that this Carolina baseball team, as young as it is and as talented as it is going to be just fine.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope, and I think Coach Fox and the coaching staff will get this corrected quickly and move forward as quickly as possible. You know, it's something that we as Carolina fans and supporters have really gotten spoiled by is the incredible success this program has had over the last decade, and you know, the fact that they hadn't been swept by Duke in 20 years, and they hadn't been swept at all since 2010, really just shows, again, how spoiled we've all gotten. But I think we can all hope that this will be just a blip and that the Tar Heels will right the ship tomorrow against UNC Wilmington and then again this weekend against Boston College.
Well, it helps to have these non-conference games in the middle of the week so you can kind of work on some things. And tomorrow, UNC Wilmington, the Seahawks coming in here, as you mentioned, and hopefully the Tar Heels can get back into the win column and have a little momentum going into the series this weekend against Boston College. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Yeah, Bobby, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem, Ron.
It is 8:23 at WCHL. It's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I've changed my mind. John Calipari is a hell of a coach. This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. John Calipari's reputation precedes him, so naturally we think of the ex-Massachusetts coach whose star Marcus Camby took money from agents, the Memphis coach with the players who never took their SATs, and the Kentucky coach who must be doing something sneaky to land all of those one-and-dones. Some or all of that may be true, But what else is true is John Calipari is a very good basketball coach, trained by the likes of Larry Brown and Ted Owens and other accomplished coaches over the years. Through all the smokescreen of his recruiting machine with the infamous middleman World Wide West, Calipari can really coach and proved it again in leading Kentucky back to the Final Four. In two games he was not expected to win, Calipari called quick timeouts when things started off badly for the Wildcats. And as they hung in there against Louisville and Michigan, you could see them begin to figure it out, close the deficits, and make the Cardinals and Wolverines play their game by the end. His offense is called dribble drive motion, and as both games went on, the bigger, stronger Cats were taking turns, taking the ball right to the basket. It became a man's game, with the refs letting the teams play, and Kentucky's size and relentless rebounding being the difference. Frankly, Kentucky has so many great young players that it's hard to keep track of who's in the game besides big Julius Randle in the middle. The Harrison brothers are great, and Calipari moves players in and out of the lineup to keep the pressure on at both ends of the court. It's a cliche, but the Wildcats wound up imposing their will on Louisville and Michigan, and they are going back to their third Final Four in 4 years. Of course, none of those key players who went in 2011 and 12 are still around, and that's more Calipari genius. Except for last season, when Kentucky's one-and-dones never meshed, he is usually masterful at getting young stars to play as a team and still get drafted for their individual talent. I'm not saying that I'm a Kentucky fan, but boy, are they fun to watch. And watch Calipari make adjustments along the way. The Wildcats are an 8th seed playing like a 1 seed. Wouldn't be surprised if they win it all again in the Big D. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill wants to hear from you. We would love to invite our clients to share their experiences on our radio and television spots this year, so please share so we can put you on the air. We received this wonderful testimonial from one of our clients regarding his recent experience with Mel Baker.
I've had my BMW serviced at Performance for over 15 years driving from Raleigh. Mel Baker is the best.
Thank you, Jeff. Mel is a great asset to our team. Like always, you'll experience the wow at Performance BMW in Chapel Hill, where you can drive home a 2014 BMW 320i for $328 per month. We treat you like you're the most important person in our life, because when you step through our doors, you are. That's the performance promise.
Stock number B4431. 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year. $3,784 total down. $549 admin fee and tag fee extra. Payment plus tax based on MSRP of $37,270 and selling price of $34,850. Financing with approved credit through BMFS on select models. Take delivery before 3/31/2014.
Visit our virtual showroom at performancebmwchapelhill.com or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Healthy should be easier. At least we think so. We're Massage Envy Spa, and we're making healthy, customized massages easier for everyone to enjoy, especially you. We're all about easy scheduling, neighborhood locations, and a price that's easy to love. Just $49.99 for first-time guests. That's healthy, only easier. That's Massage Envy Spa. Schedule today.
Locations in Eastgate and South Point. 1-800-944-ENVY.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
It's time to treat yourself to a day of fun and beauty at the Carolina Medi Spa. Come celebrate with us Thursday, April 24th from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and take advantage of special discounts on skin products, laser treatments, injectables, and more. And everyone who comes by will receive a $50 voucher and a gift bag with free product samples. See you April 24th at the Carolina Medi Spa Open House on 54 just south of I-40. Find out more at carolinamedispa.com and let us show you how to make your skin look as good as it feels.
This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system on 97.9 FM WCHL. This is only a test. FM WCHL Chapel Hill is a member of the Emergency Alert System. This concludes this test of the Emergency Alert System.
At the UPS store, we love printing.
Printing?
Large format flyers, professional presentations and manuals, window clings, bumper stickers, basically anything you might need, we can do.
Impressive.
And we do it all from start to finish. All you have to do is drop off your materials at one of our stores, or better yet, send them by email. Whether it's a few copies or hundreds of presentations, we give you a professional result and fast. To learn more about how we can help you, stop by the UPS stores on Fordham Boulevard, Menomont, and Chapel Hill North.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from one-of-a-kind custom carpet cleaning. It's 55% off. $100 of custom carpet cleaning available now for $45. One-of-a-kind offers quality carpet cleaning with great customer service. They're environmentally friendly, using only non-toxic, biodegradable, and hypoallergenic cleaning solutions for the cleanest carpets and stain removal in the Triangle. With today's deal, you get two rooms cleaned for less than the price of one. It's 55% off from one-of-a-kind custom carpet cleaning. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
It is 8:30 at WCHL. Time for your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, and it's brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best tasting fountain drinks in town, made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. It is 46 degrees in Chapel Hill, the beginning of a really great day. Sunny skies today, high today about 70, tonight mostly clear with a low in the low 40s, and the tomorrow mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s, a lot warmer tomorrow, and then tomorrow night clear with a low in the upper 40s. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high all the way up to 80 degrees. So maybe it really is springtime. By the time the weekend gets here, we'll have clouds, but high still in the middle 70s on Friday. Saturday, Sunday will be about 68 degrees. So cooling down just a little bit, but actually pretty good weather here for the next 3 days in the southern part of heaven.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM, WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. Deadlines today to sign up for health care, but correspondent Mark Albert says it's not an absolute.
The administration is providing a grace period of unspecified length for the vast majority, those applying online or by phone. But a person must first attest they did try to sign up before the deadline. The government will take your word for it. It's on the honor system.
This morning, the healthcare.gov website has been down, but officials now say they're bringing it back up slowly. So far, 6 million plus have signed up for health coverage. Those who haven't face a $95 penalty or 1% of their income, whichever is greater.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. Despite the large number of signups for new health insurance exchanges, Republicans in Congress remain unmovable in their opposition to the entire Affordable Care Act. And while they haven't proposed a replacement, they keep voting to try to repeal it. Polls show, though most Americans aren't affected by the exchanges, they still oppose the law. And Republicans are counting on that to make gains in the November election.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It is 8:32 at WCHL, 46 degrees in Chapel Hill. A nice sunny day today in Chapel Hill for a high of 70. I'm Ron Stutz. A call to police on Friday reporting a sexual assault at a UNC dorm ended in the arrest of a student who was found naked on the floor in his residence hall. 21-year-old Charles Love Talmadge of Charlotte was acting erratically, according to police, in a third-floor dorm of Lewis Residence Hall when police arrived at about 11:15 p.m. The UNC sophomore reportedly broke into another student's dorm room and sexually assaulted a female. Talmadge was subdued with a stun gun before police could arrest him. He was charged with breaking and entering, resist, obstruct, delay of arrest, assault on law enforcement officers, vandalism, possession of marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The report of sexual assault is still under investigation. As UNC leaders have been scrutinized for the past academic athletic scandal, they've also been criticized for the way they've handled those controversies, either for saying too little, going into defense mode, or for acting in a state of denial, as some have said. During a faculty council meeting on Friday, University professor Joy Renner, who serves as chair of the Faculty Athletics Committee, spoke candidly about the pressure that she and her colleagues have felt in the past 3 years to provide answers about what led to the scandals and how UNC has responded to those internal problems.
We accept the fact that people don't feel like there's enough information out there. And we're going to continue with developing our departmental networks and informational materials. And yes, we can all read, listen, and hear everything as well, and we acknowledge that. We hear what's out there.
UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, now in her ninth month at the helm of Carolina, said she recognizes the various reports swirling around the university.
I think that's always our goal, is to be responsive. On the other hand, we have to be thoughtful, we have to be careful, and we have to get it right. So I feel, as long as I know we're going for the right thing, I feel pretty pleased with what we're doing.
On Tuesday of last week, a new surge of media attention was focused on the UNC academic scandal. Two new former Carolina football players said on separate HBO and ESPN programs that they were encouraged to take no-show classes in order to retain their athletic eligibility during their collegiate careers. Whistleblower Mary Willingham, a former athletic tutor who's been outspoken about impropriety she said she observed while working with student-athletes, also appeared in the ESPN documentary. In response, Joel Curran, Vice Chancellor for Communications and Public Affairs, released a statement that the documentaries covered information that had already been reported. He added that the university announced nearly 2 years ago that there were irregular classes taught. When asked about the documentaries, Chancellor Folt said her focus was on the present and the future of the university.
If you're referring to reports in various media about our institution, those don't really reflect anything that's actually going on at our institution. So my focus is really here.
Renner said she does pay attention to the media reports, but said those do not impact the work she's doing presently to reform the university's ties between academics and athletics.
I wouldn't say it's influencing our plans for changes in practices and procedures, but obviously it does affect the public at large, because anytime you view one show or you hear one piece, you're not getting the whole story, you're just getting a partial story.
Renner called the time just after the NCAA announced its intention to investigate the UNC football program back in 2010, ground zero, as faculty tried to piece together what went awry. Since then, she said the focus has shifted to implementing policy change, keeping in mind the developments that are happening in college athletics all across the nation. Folt said she felt pleased with the reforms and inquiries that have already happened and are currently underway.
I feel very strongly that we're moving forward in a lot of areas. We have investigations going, we analyze data, and we continue to put forward reforms. So to me, it's part of a larger set of initiatives that are progressing.
UNC Provost Jim Dean said the analysis of the three outside experts who were commissioned to independently review Willingham's data, which found that a majority of the student-athletes she had studied had subpar reading skills, will be ready in 2 to 3 weeks. Dean has not identified the names of those experts. Last Sunday, 8 days ago, Chapel Hill heard the Alert Carolina sirens after police got a report of an armed man threatening people on campus. That marked the fourth time this semester that UNC's emergency sirens had sounded. The Alert Carolina system is often criticized for being too slow or too vague. But who is in charge of Alert Carolina, and who exactly is responsible for getting its messages out? Zach Mayo reports for Carolina Connection.
UNC's student union became the center of a school-wide emergency last Sunday when police say a man threatened a student with a knife near the building's bagel restaurant. Senior Ever Castro was there to witness it.
There was another friend in there with me, and we were just doing homework, just reading, and then all of a sudden we hear like this screaming, like not like a yell, like I mean not like a scared scream, but more like an aggressive one, like, hey, come back here, or something like that.
A few moments later, and with the man still on the loose, Castro said he received a text message from Alert Carolina warning students to stay indoors. Minutes after, the campus sirens went off. UNC's Department of Public Safety spokesman Randy Young says the urgency of the situation made the sirens necessary.
It was a verifiable threat to life and limb. I mean, people were being threatened with a knife, held against their will.
As it turns out, however, there's not one set protocol for when to sound the siren and when to keep quiet. According to Young, no two Alert Carolina responses have ever been exactly the same.
If there is a situation in the field that is a threat to life and limb of any members of the university community or factions therein, then the officer in command of the unit that's responding can call it in to 911 and they'll basically activate the siren system. If it's less than lethal situation, for example, it's an armed robbery or sexual assault that we do not feel is a current imminent threat to the campus, they will contact ITS.
ITS, or Information Technology Services, can send out text messages or emails to get the message out, even if the situation doesn't merit sounding the sirens. This happens for smaller crimes and inclement weather alerts. Tyler Jakin is a student and the chair of UNC's Safety and Security Committee, and he sees weather response as a system's weakness.
The few instances where Alert Carolina probably wouldn't, in at least our opinion, perform adequately this year was during inclement weather during the winter. But that's less of an Alert Carolina problem and more of just I don't think the university had the procedures or the practice and experience with inclement weather, and that really showed.
One confusing hiccup in Alert Carolina's recent history came when the siren sounded to warn of a tornado watch, even though there wasn't a warning or an immediate threat. Young says this could have been handled differently.
That probably, given the parameters of our of the way it's written on our page, that should have been a level two, a text message, but not necessarily the sirens. While we would rather err on the side of caution and put out too much than too little, it can result in dulling the sword to a certain extent.
Young says police and administrative staff review every activation of the emergency system. While he acknowledges Alert Carolina isn't perfect, he says every time the siren sounds, it's a learning experience and an opportunity to improve. In Chapel Hill, I'm Zach Mayo.
Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 right here on WCHL during the school year. 8:39 at WCHL, I'm Russ Stutz. Now let's check in with Zach Godwin at the Chapelboro Twitter desk. And Zach, what's happening this morning? What are folks tweeting about?
Well, I got something I think might interest you in a bit of a tangential way. I'm guessing you're probably not a big fan of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Not really. I mean, I have respect for them, but
they're
not
really your taste, I know, which is all right.
Not really. It's all right.
To each his own. But have you heard about how they're releasing their next album?
I have no idea.
Well, apparently, I like how this article sets the stage. Somewhere in Morocco, in a vault beneath the Atlas Mountains, there is a nickel-plated box with just one album in it, and that is all they're selling. They're selling one copy of the album. And the idea is to treat it as a work of art, just as a painter would only have one painting.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to shift the idea of music as art, and so they're only selling one copy of this album.
So somebody would have a regular copy, but then there are going to be copies of it.
Well, one thought is that even a record company might spend, they're expecting multi-million-dollar figure to sell it for. And they're saying a record company might buy it and just distribute it on their own, or it might be just some crazy rich collector who buys, you know, baseball cards for $1 million.
Okay. Well, is somebody supposed to go to Morocco and buy this thing there, or what's
the
deal?
I think they're probably bringing it out from the vault, but... and what they're going to do is go on tour with it to museums, and they'll have heavy security. They'll pat everybody down, make sure there's no recording equipment, and they'll listen to the music on headphones so that there's no chance of anybody else hearing it. So that, I mean, just like a painting, you have to go to the museum to see it, and you don't get to take it with you.
That's really weird.
I was curious to see what your response would be.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've never heard of anything like that, but more power to them if they can pull that off.
Yeah, that, well, Wu-Tang is known for doing things, marching to the beat of their own drums. So.
Yeah, I do know that much about them. Well, so people are tweeting about the Wu-Tang Clan and this work of art. I guess every artist considers, you know, an album that they come out with, you know, a work of art, but this is carrying it to another extreme.
Yeah, and they're still, like, they're releasing another album this year that they're going to do regularly. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go exclusively to the single copy platform, but
yeah,
it's an interesting concept. It, you know, it's more to prove a point, I think, than anything, but...
Mm-hmm. Only one exceedingly rich person would be able to actually buy it, though, so...
Hopefully one exceedingly rich, generous person.
Yeah, exactly. So I just, you know, I wondered about that. I mean, regular fans aren't going to have a chance to get that, so... Anyway, that's what I don't like about it. Hey, thank you so much. And if you want to tweet Zach, you can. The handle is
at Chapelboro.
At Chapelboro. Also, you can tweet us at WCHL if you'd like to tell us anything about traffic or whatever's on the line.
Right.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ron.
It is 8:43 at WCHL. Coming up next, we're going to tell you about something I can understand a lot better. That is a golf tournament coming up to raise funds for a very good cause. That is on the way right after this.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
My name's Jeff Kennedy with the Kennedy Dental Group here in Chapel Hill. I practice with Dick Wagner and Leland Webb. Along with implant dentistry and some great advances in cosmetic dental options, one of the greatest advances for the quality of dental care has been oral conscious sedation. We've been practicing that in our office since 2009. We're certified with the state. One advantage is it takes the anxiety away. The obvious application for oral conscious sedation is the anxious patient or patients who may have avoided going to the dentist from fear of pain. The patient during the procedure is very relaxed and it causes less stress. And while patients do not go fully to sleep when they're sedated, they often have no recollection of the procedure at all. Even in cases where they remember it, they tend to remember it as just a brief visit. Sometimes it's hard to get away from a person's job long enough to make multiple appointments to come in over and over. And if it's more convenient, sometimes they can sit through one long extended session under oral sedation. It can feel like a short appointment to the patient, and we get a lot more work done.
The Kennedy Dental Group. Now in the iconic WCHL building on East Franklin Street.
Well, they can find us at Kennedy Dental Group online. Also, our phone number is 919-967-9291.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insights.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
April is County Government Month. In celebration, Orange County is hosting an expo at University Mall on Friday, April 4th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. More than two dozen Orange County departments will set up booths stocked with information and giveaways. Take a tour of emergency services and police vehicles. Learn about county services. Meet the employees who take pride in providing quality customer service to the residents of Orange County. Ron Stutz and the WCHL Chapelboro team will be there, and we hope you will too. Come on over to University Mall on Friday, April 4th between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. for the Orange County Expo.
Good morning. It is 8:45 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz, and a special guest in the studio this morning, Evan Norfleet, is here. And Evan, first of all, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Evan, you are a senior in high school, right?
Yes, sir. And, at Trinity School of Durham.
Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
I have a connection with the Norfleet family because, Evan, I knew your dad when he was younger than you.
Right.
When he started working at WCHL at the age of 15, and you're what?
I'm 18.
18,
yes, sir.
Okay. But you look pretty much identical to the way Greg looked back in those days. But I know you're not here to talk about that. You want to talk about a special memorial golf tournament in honor of your grandfather.
Yes, sir.
And
well,
tell us about that.
Sure. Well, at my school, each senior has the opportunity to do what's called a senior capstone project. And it's basically a culmination of our educational experience at Trinity. And normally, you know, you want to do a semester-long or year-long project that you're passionate about. And for me, I just wanted to tie in my love for golf. I've been playing the game since I was 9 years old, and it's the game's given a lot to me. And so I wanted to kind of use my passion for golf and also my desire to give back to the Chapel Hill community. You know, Chapel Hill and UNC has meant so much to my family. And with my grandfather, Dr. Ed Norfleet, working in the anesthesia department, for almost 35 years, I just felt the eagerness to give back to him. And so this tournament's really the culmination of that. And, you know, I'm hoping to raise awareness for pancreatic cancer, which he passed away a few years ago, too. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to raise a lot of money and awareness for that cause.
Everybody who knew Ed Norfleet loved the guy. I mean, he was a fantastic guy.
Absolutely.
I knew him pretty well. And he was actually the anesthesiologist for my son, who had to have surgery one time when he was very young. And everybody at the hospital loved him. Everybody in the community loved him. This is a great way to pay tribute to him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think again, just going back to the pancreatic cancer, I mean, it is one of the most lethal of all cancers. And you look at, you know, in the past 5 years, 92% of the people diagnosed in the U.S. pass away during the first year of diagnosis. And so it was unfortunate. It was a really hard time for my family, but I think this is a really exciting event that's going to be able to give back to a great guy.
Did you have any idea that it would be this much work to put on this tournament when you first this thing off?
I really didn't. It's been, hundreds of emails, a lot of phone calls. Of course, it's nice to be on the radio with you and get some publicity. But it's also been a really enjoyable project. I think I've kind of looked past the work and all of the things that I have to do and just putting a lot of my effort together to raise money for a great cause.
Tell us all the particulars. When is it? Where is it? And how do people get involved?
Yeah, sure thing. So it's Monday, April 14th. So it's the Monday after the Masters. So hopefully everybody will be pumped up to play some golf, and hopefully we'll get a streak of good weather here so we can play. So it's at Chapel Hill Country Club on Monday, April 14th, and it starts at 10 a.m. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun, and it's a four-player scramble, so it should be a lot of fun. Hopefully some low scores out there. And the best way to register, it's a 150-player registration fee, and that's going to cover 18 holes of golf with a cart, lunch, and hopefully some cool prizes at the end. And so the best way to register would be to contact me at my email. It's eanorfleet1@gmail.com. Again, eanorfleet1@gmail.com. Or if you just like to register online, hopefully you'll put a link to that on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take you to just a simple online registration page. But also, if you just want to donate to the cause, whether you're playing or you want to sponsor, you can make donations payable to the Edward A. Norfleet Memorial Golf Tournament. And you can mail that to my address at 4 Greers Ferry Court, Durham, North Carolina, 27713.
Hard to remember all those numbers and all those addresses and everything, but if you want to get in touch with me, I can pass it along to you. And also, we'll have it on our website.
All right. Thanks so much, Ron.
I got one final question here for you, Evan. Do you play golf with your dad?
I do play golf with my dad.
How badly do you beat him?
It normally gets pretty bad, but my dad's been a big support to me and a big encouragement to my golf game, so it's nice to have him playing with me every once in a while.
Greg, it's like a chip off the old block. All we need to do is just pull out a few beach music songs and have Evan spin them, and that'll be like old times.
That's right. That's right. This brings back a lot of great memories. One of my highlights was sitting in doing the morning show when you were on vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to look forward to that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You did a great job. I was scared they wouldn't want me back when it was time for me to return home. Well, listen, thanks, Greg. Thanks for coming in. And Evan, thank you so much for doing all this work.
Thank you.
On this golf tournament.
Sure thing.
Dr. Ed Norfleet, all you got to do is say that name. People just, he was a real icon in this community. Everybody loved him. And this Memorial Golf Tournament comes up Monday, April 14th. Everybody find out about this and help benefit the UNC Limeburger Comprehensive Cancer Center to help fight pancreatic cancer. Just a great cause. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
It is 8:51 at WCHL. Still to come, we still have Fred Black's commentary. He says public school teachers are more important these days than ever. That is on the way.
Take the family to Dickie's for a family night or pick up a family pack on your way home because you just don't want to cook. Order online at Dickie's.com and we will have it ready for you to take out. With 8 juicy hickory smoked meats, including pulled pork, chicken, ribs, brisket, and more. Add fresh home-style sides and hush puppies, and you will have a special night that is tasty and affordable. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday, and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
Performance BMW in Chapel Hill wants to hear from you. We would love to invite our clients to share their experiences on our radio and television spots this year, so please share so we can put you on the air. We received this wonderful testimonial from one of our clients regarding his recent experience with Mel Baker.
I've had my BMW serviced at Performance for over 15 years driving from Raleigh. Mel Baker is the best.
Thank you, Jeff. Mel is a great asset to our team. Like always, you'll experience the wow at Performance BMW in Chapel Hill, where you can drive home a 2014 BMW 320i for $328 per month. We treat you like you're the most important person in our life because when you step through our doors, you are. That's the performance promise.
Stock number B4431, 36-month lease with 10,000 miles per year, $3,784 total down, $549 admin fee and tag fee extra. Payment plus tax based on MSRP of $37,270 and selling price of $34,850. Financing with approved credit through BMFS on select models. Take delivery before 3/31/2014.
Visit our virtual showroom at PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com or visit us in person in Chapel Hill, just a quarter mile off I-40.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
8:53 at WCHL, up to 47 degrees in Chapel Hill, the beginning of a really nice day.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. One of the interesting ramifications as growing up as a kid in the military, or typically what's called an Army brat, was that we moved a lot. Moving meant leaving friends and places you grew accustomed to, and of course, changing schools. From kindergarten to high school graduation, I attended 10 schools. I did 8th grade in 2 different locations and attended 3 high schools for my 4 years. Fortunately, my junior and senior year were in the same school, so that was at least some stability. My parents were very involved in our education and never let relocations be used as an excuse for poor performance. But thankfully, I remember that the majority of my teachers were great educators who cared and ensured that we achieved in the classroom regardless of when we joined the class. Those great teachers prepared us well, and our education prepared us for college. I now worry that our local kids might not have the opportunity to learn from committed, skilled, and enthusiastic teachers in the days ahead because of the actions by the General Assembly. Will we be able to retain our best educators given the salary issues, the loss of advanced degree incentives, decreasing school budgets, and the workloads we ask teachers to carry? Some considered us Army brats disadvantaged because of the constant moving, but the advantage that at least I had at every single school was top-flight educators. I hope all citizens get engaged and involved and push for policy reforms. Our kids deserve to be able to say that they had great teachers and not what a bad law might leave them with. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
8:55 at WCHL, it's Ron Stutz, and you remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? What does it mean? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. If you know the answers to those questions, you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Dr. James Bryan has served the UNC Medical School, the university, and the community since 1964 when he first joined the UNC Department of Internal Medicine. For a half century, Dr. Bryan has been one of our favorites, and he's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Medicine has changed a bit, of course, in the way it can support life with technology and in scientific ways and support it longer. One of the realities is that we not only have that capacity to support life, but people are taking care of themselves better. There's better nutrition. They're living longer. They're being more careful about being more fit, so that we now have more elderly patients. And as I've gone through my 50 years of practice, patients I had at first were younger, and they've gotten older with me, and so I have a practice that's basically my age. It's post-retirement. It is a interesting evolution of work. I've had a good time not only practicing and showing medicine off to the students, but working in social medicine a bit.
Recently, Dr. Bryan was honored by the UNC School of Medicine for his career as a legendary teacher of thousands of medical students and resident physicians. He's been a great role model, and now Dr. Jim Bryan has a pet project.
As you get older, as you get more frail, and I realized there had to be an option for treatment. There had to be a caring option that would keep people comfortable as they departed.
Help fund the construction of a new UNC hospice inpatient facility in Dr. James Bryan's honor.
I've been interested in hospice since my early days and helped get it started. And now UNC Hospice, which has been an outpatient program, realizes that their patients are being cared for by elderly and frail folk and they need an inpatient facility and they've had some land given them, and so I'm going to help them raise some money to get this thing built.
Dr. Bryant isn't going anywhere. He'll continue to stay on top of his profession.
I do plan to keep my license to practice medicine, which I've had since 1957, and to help organizations that provide care for those who don't have the capacity, and I will start working again. I had to stop for a while at the men's homeless shelter on Thursday nights, which is only once a week, and I've signed up to work at the Samaritan's Clinic over in Durham. It's a free clinic, so I'm looking forward to doing that. I'll keep my license as long as possible.
Dr. James Bryan, thank you for 50 years of service to the UNC School of Medicine, to the university, and to our community. You're today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from one-of-a-kind custom carpet cleaning. It's 55% off. $100 of custom carpet cleaning available now for $45. One-of-a-kind offers quality carpet cleaning with great customer service. They're environmentally friendly, using only non-toxic, biodegradable, and hypoallergenic cleaning solutions for the cleanest carpets and stain removal in the Triangle. With today's deal, you get two rooms cleaned for less than the price of one. It's 55% off from one-of-a-kind custom carpet cleaning. It's available for limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit DurhamTech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Well, congratulations to Florine Funk of Chapel Hill, who called in and told me the word of the day. It is staunch, S-T-A-N-C-H, not the word that you normally hear. It's a verb. It means to stop the flow of water, blood, or wine. Florine Funk gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Congratulations.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
9 o'clock.
Carolina basketball.
Alley-oop to McAdoo.
On 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
The open enrollment window.